right. We are live on Blog Talk Radio for Georgia State University Panther Zone. Of course, we are presented today by our friends at Impact Media, and of course, that would make me Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us this week. We've got a lot of fun things to talk about. As the title of this week's show is Making Lemonade, it's going to be interesting how I work that in. But, of course, I have a very special guest, and I want to get to him right now because he's probably got more to say than I do about Georgia State. Right now, I want to bring on from Primetime Sports, of course, he is Caleb Johnson. How you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing well. Stationed out here in Savannah, enjoying the weather.
I bet it is. I bet it's slightly better than up here, right?
Yeah. Odd after the time change to have daylight so late.
Yeah. It's already bit me once earlier today on the time change when you find out that nobody else moved the clock.
Ooh, yeah, that's unfortunate. No, yeah, thankfully, Team Apple saves me all the time and keeps me on the right time.
Definitely so, and I should trust my phone a lot more, but the alarm on it is a little loud, and I didn't want to wake my little nephew this morning, so I went with the wall clock, and the wall clock was on the wrong time. But like I said, you are from Primetime Sports, and I actually met you back at the bowl game, I believe, in Orlando for the finale for the football team, but you're one of the main guys that covers baseball, which is definitely why I wanted to have you on, because you know a lot more than I do about this team, and I claim to know a lot. But, you know, before we really get into that, if you want, just, you know, give the condensed brief summary version of kind of your history up to this point.
Okay, well, I am a junior at Georgia State, formerly was at Salem High School out in Conyers, Georgia. Graduated from there. Got a background in doing some film production, really loved it, so came over to Georgia State to study film and television with a minor in journalism, and just happened to, through a friend that I met at Georgia State, ran into GSTV, which is the original television station at Georgia State. Don't let someone tell you that it's GSU TV. GSTV is where it started. And with Primetime Sports, they're a pretty new sports show that's been going on a little over a year now. We've come leaps and bounds from some very basic kind of show concepts and packages into where we've produced in the past semester. A little over a semester, we've produced over 120 packages put out there. So I've been really excited. I've covered a little bit of every sport. I've kind of taken on the task of covering the sports that don't get as much attention at Georgia State, and trying to give some insight on some things that people otherwise wouldn't know. Baseball is always a sport that I love to watch, love to keep up with, big Atlanta Braves fan. So it just automatically, you know, kind of came together that I would get involved in Georgia State baseball.
Now you talk about covering some of the ones who don't get, you know, as much coverage as some of the bigger sports. Actually, last year we covered the sand volleyball team for the season. Do you cover them?
I do. Beach volleyball at Georgia State is a lot of fun, not only because the tournaments that they have at Georgia State, you know, they it's right in the heart of the city, but they're really good. I mean, most people would not know that they went to the national championships last year, you know, played some really experienced teams, and I actually put out a package for Primetime Sports about that. Probably three, four weeks ago, I went out there, met the head coach, great, you know, great lady, really friendly, really wanting to, you know, basically sell the team and all the fun things that they do to fans to come out and watch. They had a tournament, I believe, last week, and swept Mercer. They didn't let Mercer didn't win a match.
Wow.
I'm telling you, they're an impressive team, and they're fun. The girls are fun. When I went to interview some of them, they're, you know, sometimes when you go to interview athletes, they're a little reserved. They kind of keep them, you know, they keep their personality out of it. But beach volleyball has been one of the sports that I've gone to cover where the girls were really excited and eager to talk and to get their sport out there. The facility at Georgia State is very unique, as there's a MARTA train that runs literally 100 feet from the complex. But at the same time, they've got a palm tree. You know, they got palm trees and sand. So it's a unique but a really fun atmosphere to have.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was able to go to a tournament out there, and yeah, I agree. I, for the life of me, couldn't figure out where their beach was in downtown Atlanta until I walked up on this. You kind of turn the corner, there's the three-tier court, and like you said, the train track running right beside it. It just gives it this unique feel, like you're not going to get this anywhere else.
Definitely not. And the interesting thing is, I mean, they're competing with a lot of teams on the West Coast. A lot of people who naturally have a lot of, you know, sunshine, naturally have this beach atmosphere in Georgia, just honestly, I mean, doesn't really have that. But these girls are actually, a lot of them coming from the West Coast, coming over here to play, because Georgia State was one of few schools to give full scholarships to all the athletes on the team.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Yeah, and most schools do not do that, but Georgia State spent the money building the facility and giving all the girls that play full ride scholarships to Georgia State.
Wow. I didn't know that at all. That's exceptional, because I know there was, I feel like, I don't know if it was Germany, but it was somewhere in Europe one of the players were from last year, and I know there's, like you said, the West Coast all around here. I feel like there was like maybe Australia or something as well.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't have the master list, and the main one I talked to from that group is Sarah Agnew, who unfortunately had hip surgery a couple days ago, so she hadn't been competing actively, but she's been you know, she keeps me up to date with a lot of things going on since we don't cover them anymore here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome that you cover them, because I absolutely agree. Because to start with, I was like, all right, I'm going to go check them out, see what they're all about, you know, kind of see what this sand volleyball in Atlanta is all about. And these girls can play. I mean, it's just like if you watch the Olympic style that's on television, you know, the Misty May trainer, forgot her, whoever her partner was, I can't for the life of me remember right now. But, you know, all the big ones, it got real big during the Olympics here in America, because we had the best teams. But I tell people all the time, I was like, these girls could easily be those next people we see at the Olympics.
Yeah, well, because they've actually got a girl, Sarah Olivova, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's from the Czech Republic, and she's actually represented the Czech Republic in beach volleyball.
Wow.
Yes, they've got some really impressive girls. Most of them, I believe, are from the West Coast, you know, the Arizona, the Californias, because they knew, you know, the opportunities that Georgia State had with the scholarships and with the coaches, because Coach Beth Van Fleet, you know, she gets a lot of attention, a lot more than I realized. I didn't realize it until I covered them. And started talking to other people about, hey, did you know that Georgia State, they were in the national championships last year? Their third year playing, period.
Yeah, there's something about those, you know, 3 years in a upper division that Georgia State seems to have a pretty good theme going.
Yeah, and honestly, right now, across the board, Georgia State athletics seem to be on the rise. Like, there's a lot of... I think, you know, the biggest hurt that we've had against Georgia State Athletics has been the basketball team, who, you know, they've degressed a little bit, just honestly from losing some exceptional talent. But I think every other sport is really making huge strides on their way up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And and of course, as we move into, if I can get the screen to come up, we're having all kinds of fun troubles today. But of course, as we get on out to the old ballpark, as it was a good thing we got to meet up on Saturday. It ended up being a doubleheader, which surprised, I think, everybody there. But
yeah,
I was also able to meet your lovely better half, who was nice enough to hang out with us as well. Give a shout out to her, and you can high five her for us here at the show. But that was the first, because this whole weekend was supposed to, I mean, was just chaos. As of Wednesday afternoon, the team that was supposed to be in town this weekend, that I somehow forgot the name of.
Lafayette.
That's it, Lafayette. And I will correct myself from last week. They are not the same Lafayette from Louisiana. Nobody is sick in Louisiana as far as I know. This is the one in Pennsylvania, I believe, or something like that. Some kind of virus or something going on up there. So they shut down the whole school, said nobody's leaving, nobody's coming in, all the sports are not doing anything this weekend. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
I had never heard of, because the press release was that there was the neurovirus going on. And when I looked into what that was, there was a lot of ties with the problems that Chipotle had earlier this year, where they were having to shut down some of their restaurants because it's a big stomach virus that spreads really easily. And so up in Lafayette, Pennsylvania, they shut down all campus activities and athletics because they were afraid any of the student athletes that they had might spread. And so it was pretty interesting. I mean, they waited till about 10 o'clock. I think it was Wednesday night that they canceled the series. And, they had mentioned that they might pick a team up, but really weren't sold on anything. And then these two series this weekend kind of fell together pretty quickly.
Yeah, because you actually had alerted me, I think, late Wednesday night through that post they put up, that because we had talked about going to the games this weekend, and you were like, hey, by the way, they're not playing, or so far they're not, it's all up in the air. So that was kind of the chaos, and this is where the theme of today of making lemonade happens, because suddenly, out of nowhere, it goes from a full weekend to no weekend, back to a full weekend, as Fairmont State and Jackson State were able to, because of their own travel issues, happened to be coming back this direction and said, yeah, we'll stop by for some games.
Yeah, when it was good to, you know, just, I guess, to put the guys out there and play after seeing the team in person this weekend, kind of wondered why maybe they didn't take advantage of the opportunity thrown their way of having a free weekend, especially because for Georgia State students, this is our spring break. And so giving those baseball guys, you know, a couple of days off, I think, you know, might have been an advantage to them. But Coach Frady went on and decided to book these teams, and instead of playing three games this weekend, played four.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, to each his own is deciding how you want to tackle things. Definitely, you know, playing Fairmont State, who I looked up, so they're you know, Division II, of course, but they're from the Mountain East Conference.
Okay.
They don't usually play a lot of large competition, so I'm assuming they'd have to be pretty excited to take on a team like Georgia State, who is a, you know, Division I Sun Belt, you know, get some recognition, and they held their own.
Yeah, they actually did. Both these games were actually pretty close, with them actually, you know, that first game we saw, it ended up being 2-1 then, but, and the thing, you know, we got to go back to the theme, because this is going to be the theme we'll probably talk about, at least baseball-wise, the rest of this show, and that's that the starting rotation and bullpen for Georgia State has turned more into an infirmary than it has an actual bullpen of people. Their injuries are left and right. It's to a point, I don't know if this was half-joking or not, because I didn't get a chance to ask Coach Frady, but the rumor was going around that somewhere late in the week, the position players were asked, if you ever pitched in high school, report to bullpen over the weekend, because they may need you for an inning or something.
Yeah, doing a Jeff Francoeur kind of situation,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, you kind of look and go, has anybody wanted to pitch before? Great. Can you give us a seventh inning? Go for it. Just do what you got to do. I mean,
well,
you have Joey Roach back there, so I'm not worried about it getting away from anybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess except for Sunday, he really didn't go too crazy with his rotation.
No, because the two games that we both saw on Saturday, and then I was able to go Sunday as well, really it was, if a pitcher was in there, they were in there for a good chunk, or at the same time, you know, he didn't play matchups enough to, you pitch more than an inning typically, unless just the wheels fell off, and that didn't really happen. So, you know, everybody that came out to pitch was an actual pitcher on the roster. As far as I saw, nobody from, let me look at the fourth game. As far as I know, nobody from the, I take that back. Rhett Harper actually pitched the last inning of the game earlier today.
I see that. And had a tough stretch.
From the looks of it. But he struck out two. Hey, good for you, Rhett Harper. You struck out two. That's probably four more than I would ever get. You know, we were joking at Sunday's game, me and some of the parents, we were cutting up during some of the many mound visits that Jackson State was taking, that, and I'm not going to get on a tangent on that, I would take the rest of the time of the show, but during one of the many mound visits, and I'll throw this line out there, I said it loud enough to where their side could hear it too, because a few of them chuckled, but I said, the Jackson State coaches have visited the mound more than they do their own mothers, and she misses you guys. Come on. But,
well, Jackson State must have been following the trends of Fairmont, because Fairmont was doing the same exact thing.
And I guess it was a different umpire staff for Sunday's game too, because at one point, the home plate umpire just kind of – it's like he finally realizes that they've been out to the mound like 800 times. And finally, as he's coming out of the dugout, he just takes his mask off and he says, can you be quick about it? Or is this necessary? He says something like that, and the coach just turned and looked at him. He goes, I'm not trying to do anything here, but weren't you just out here? I was like, hey, yeah, it has a point.
Yeah.
But, no, the joke we had going around between the Georgia State – players' parents and myself and a couple of the scouts actually was that one of the coaches may come over and see if we had any years of eligibility left so that we could pitch a few innings for him. And I think I'm completely tapped out, but I'm not quite sure on that. I may have a year or so. I did go to a smaller school for my 2 degrees, so there's a chance I have a year left.
Yeah, they want to come calling. You know, I love talking about the game, and haven't played the game since I was a sophomore in high school, but you know, I keep a glove in my trunk. But I think these guys, you know, they took care of business enough.
Yeah.
This weekend, as far as the season goes, I really would like to see more out of them, pitching wise. As they're and defensively too. I think there's been a lot of defensive miscues that are just really avoidable. Really go along the shortstop, second base. You know, Justin Jones and Will Kilgore, those two guys. I think they've got to work together more to figure out their game. Because I've seen a lot of mistakes from specifically those two guys. You know, I don't want to call them out too too much, but I have seen a lot of mistakes coming from those positions specifically that have caused some problems, caused other teams to be able to put up runs just unnecessary. But yeah, I think as you and me spoke before, offense for Georgia State has not been a problem this season.
Right, it's been actually refreshing because, like I said, in the year and a half or so that I've covered this team as we're working on the second year now, I haven't quite seen them score this many runs in chunks like this. Usually it was most of the games I went to last year were like, one, two, three runs, something like that. I always felt bad for Cole Uvila, who seemed to average about a half a run a game in run support. But, well, I mean, the bats are alive this year at least, but because of all the injuries, the pitchers just seem like they're really tired. So, these guys are logging a lot of innings that they're not typically used to. And, like you said, between that and I do feel like until – Justin Jones and Kilgore get used to each other. There were a lot of issues at second base over the weekend, whether it was Will or any of the – there was three or four guys that played second base, and each one of them seemed to have some sort of difficulties. Maybe you look at – there might be a couple things of rocks out there causing some bad bounces.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's something.
Yeah.
Because those two positions have not been able to work well at all. I mean, it's been the entire season, and can't blame it on the field because I saw the same looks when they were out at Tech, played at Tech. I believe that was last week. That was a particular game that was frustrating because they looked so well early on, and I don't know whether it was just because Tech is such a good baseball team that they just overmatched them. But I just saw a lot of, just dumb mistakes for them to end up losing a game like that.
Yeah, because that first game was kind of tight. And we'll go on and get into the umpire story just to get it out there because this did
yeah.
This did kind of shake everybody up because from where we were sitting, we had no idea what in the world was going on. It took a parent to go. They were going to ask their kids something else. And the kid said, "Oh, you want to know what happened?" And one of the coaches gave – or no, it wasn't a coach. It was one of the kids over there that gave the story. Apparently the umpire that was behind third base, he was on the third base line at the time. The Georgia State team was yelling something, encouraging, or yelling something at Joey Roach, the catcher who just so happened to be at bat, I believe, at that point. This umpire believes that they're yelling at the pitcher for the other team instead. So he looks at him and says, "Hey, guys, have some class," or he says something along those lines. Well, it just so happens that the third base coach is also head coach Greg Frady, who turned around and said, "Don't tell my kids that," or "Don't tell them to have class," or something like that. So they kind of get into it, and by getting into it, Greg Frady probably talks lower than I am right now, and very calmly in the way he always does. And this umpire kept getting louder and louder and louder to where finally the home plate umpire just calls time, takes his mask off, and just waits on this to finish. And the funniest part to me was when they finally, Greg Frady kept walking away from him, to where he was almost third base coaching from home plate. He was so far away from the guy at that point. Finally the guy stops talking. He just, kind of whatever. The home plate umpire looks at Joey like, "Okay, you know, what was all that about?" And he just kind of grins and shakes his shoulders and gets in the box. But, sometimes umpires believe the game's about them, and this guy, unfortunately, was as wrong as he could be.
Well, that guy does have a name. I actually was able to find it. Jeremy Dupree, because he was on the third base side for that game, went over to first for the
yep.
second of the doubleheader. And then, if you remember, he was a problem there. After calling, I can't remember who it was out, but for running out of the base path, and he clearly didn't.
Right.
But just a problematic guy the whole time that Georgia State had to deal with him.
Wow. And that's, it's like I said to a lot of the parents and scouts on Sunday, I said, if you're an umpire, it's just like an offensive lineman in football. I shouldn't know your name, because if I do, it's because you've done something you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And, and here it is again, another Jeremy giving the rest of us a bad name. I mean, it's bad enough that every soap opera and every Hallmark movie, the bad guy or the bad boyfriend is always a Jeremy, but I mean, now we got the umpire. I mean, come on, man. We got to do better than this.
You got to step your game up.
I know. Now I have to work harder.
This Fairmont game, though, it concerned me a little bit. After, I can't remember if it was the fourth or fifth inning that Jalen Williard went out with that injury. And I was kind of curious what that was going to do to him this weekend.
It
looked like it.
Bottom of the sixth when it happened.
Sixth, okay.
Yep. It happened to be a game I was somewhat keeping score on, and I have it on my sheet here that in the bottom of the sixth, Luke Leonard come in for him. So.
Yeah, well, and Luke, he ended up being the one to drive in a run or to put up the run, the sole run that Georgia State had in that game.
Right.
But yeah, with Jalen, you know, I mean, he's had the best average second to Joey Roach. So far this season, I always like to see how Jalen's doing. I have a class with him. I have a Spanish class with him. So I always check up with him in class about how things are going. Like to see the guy do well, and was just concerned seeing him leave that game. And I think you and me spoke Saturday about he experienced some kind of problem and was going to continue the at-bat until Coach Frady pulled him out.
Yeah, Frady noticed the look on his face, or that he shook his shoulder. It seemed like it was a shoulder or upper back injury or something, and it was in the middle of the count. It was a 1-2 count, I think. And he kept saying Jalen and Jalen and walking towards him. And finally, the umpire looked at Frady, and Frady threw his hand up like, "Give me a second." And he called him over to him. I think he asked him one thing, and based off the response, he looked at the dugout, pointed to somebody, and pointed like, "Get in the game." And and with all the injuries going on, that's just precautionary. But I forgot to look to see if he played the rest of the time. I don't know if he played the rest of the weekend.
He didn't play Saturday, definitely, and didn't play Sunday, but he did play today.
Okay. So maybe it was just a slight strain or something he was able to come back from.
Well, he didn't start today. Looks like he came in to pinch run and then stayed in.
Okay.
He put up one of their many runs in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at the line here that he came in to pitch run at some point for James Clements and then went 1-for-1 with an RBI and a run scored. So he actually, you know, and a walk. So, I mean, technically he counted for at least two of those runs.
Yes.
So, good to see him back in. It seemed like we ran through by looking at it here, it seems like we ran through the entire bench in this game.
Yeah. which I guess, you know, you want to get guys out there, get them their experience.
But it looks like as far as pinch runners, our closer Wayne Wages came in as a pinch runner at one point, so I'm hoping that wasn't injury related, but seeing as how it was after one at bat, it might have been. Because I haven't gotten the report. All I could get was the box score this early after the game. So I'm trying to make sense. You know, I'm trying to make chicken salad out of chicken soup here in this. let's see. Yeah, at some point, Nick Gatewood was the starting catcher today. And after one at bat and a walk at some point, Wayne Wages come in to pinch run, and then Brandon Gonzalez, the backup catcher, came in for the rest of the game. So maybe it was an injury.
Well,
I'm going to make a note of that, and I'm going to look it up. And I know if you find out, you'll tell me as well. So,
yes, I will. Gonzalez on Saturday, he actually looked pretty good.
I know.
To be a backup to Joey, I mean, you know, looking like he's going. He is the future for Georgia State basketball, Georgia State baseball after this season.
I
was glad to see him play so well.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good arm. I can't remember if he picked off a guy or not, but in my opinion, he did. I think it was close.
He did. Yeah, he did on Saturday in that second game.
And, I mean, he runs well. He hits pretty well. He makes good contact. He can drive the ball. I was like, you know, I'm not saying that we won't miss Joey, because we'll absolutely is. He's such a cornerstone of this, just, you know, of the baseball team in general. But to know that they're turning over the catcher's mask to him, I mean, it's still looking pretty good.
Yeah. I think what Georgia State will miss with Joey is obviously the leadership as being a senior, but he's just got the power that he has with that bat. It's just second to none of, you know, of anyone you see playing the game.
Yeah, definitely so. I was able to pull up some stuff here. I was going to try to see if it said anything about an injury or anything. I do know that they scored 7 runs in the 8th inning today, and that's what made the 11-5 victory that much better.
Yes.
But, no, I'm not seeing anything. I do know that Joey got his 100th career RBI earlier today. He had 2 in the game, but he got number 100. I'm not sure what the record is, but I'm sure he's approaching it.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. You know, he's just done so much for Georgia State baseball. You know, it's always nice to see him play. A great guy in person. Actually, you know, I saw him at the bookstore a few weeks ago, and when you stand next to him, I thought he was a football player wearing his Georgia State stuff, and then he turned around and I realized it was Joey. But a great guy, really nice guy, and just, you know, a great cornerstone for Georgia State baseball that hoping to see some really good things out of the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely so. And let's see. We told you it was 2-1, the loss on the first game. The second game against Fairmont, we were able to rebound, as I said on, I don't know if I tweeted that or if I think I put it on Facebook, that must have fed the team some Scooby Snacks or something, because suddenly the bats come alive, and 8-5 on that one. Of course, let's see, who had the win on that? It was, Clayton Payne had the, I actually met his parents. They're really nice people, but Clayton was able to get the win on that. And then the Sunday game, of course, was 13-12, Jackson State. That was, you missed a wild one. I know you had some things that kept you from making it out, but it just, it's, you know, at one point you're watching the other team, Jackson State, put up a 6 spot on the board, and you're just like, man. I was like, you're not out of it yet. You can do, because it was so early in the game, I was like, you do 1 or 2 here, 1 or 2 there, and suddenly you're back in this game. Well, they did one better than that. They put a 7 spot on the board in the 7th inning, but then didn't score again. Jackson State scored 2 more in the 8th, and it was over. But it was a wild game. In fact, Wayne Wade just started the game. I didn't get there till a little late because of some construction on I-20. Imagine that, right? Construction in the middle of a weekend. But so I got there and said hello to some people, and I happened to look up, and I said, that's the closer, right? And they said, yeah. And I said, the closer started the game. They went, yeah. And I went, man, these injuries have got to be terrible. But he pitched almost 5 innings. He almost got out of the 5th. They pulled him 4 2/3 in. But he was, I mean, he looked good. He looked like he could be a starter if he wanted to be.
Yeah, well, and I think part of that, you know, being a closer, you're used to, you know, short stints. I think looked like 5 was a little too long for him to be out there, as that was the inning that Jackson State put up the 6 run.
Yeah.
But good to know that he can go longer than an inning or 2 innings, you know. Probably 4 should have been his max, but, you know, you live and you learn, especially with these injuries. Coach Brady might have had his hands tied as far as, you know, who he wanted to put out there.
Yeah, because I know we gave him a standing ovation when he came out of the game, and he had his head held high. He hated what had happened because I believe he went out with the bases loaded, to which when Chris, is it Mejias? It's something, I want to make sure I say that right because I feel bad when I don't pronounce it right. But Chris came in, and that's kind of when everybody started to score at that point. It was just, he threw a few. He was kind of, I'm not going to say the umpire was squeezing him because that wouldn't technically be correct. But at the same time, It was making it where the strike zone was a dinner plate, and it was pretty hard. So both sides were kind of leaving them flat, and that's why you end up with 25 total runs.
Yes. And quite a few errors in this game.
The Sunday game for sure was the one where the second base position, I forgot who was at second at the time. Maybe it was James Clements. That sounds right. Yeah. And there were three straight batters that hit at second base. One looked like it hit, I don't know, an indention or something. There was like a little crevice that it seemed like it hit. And I'm not making excuses because the next one was all on James. But it seemed like it hit something, and it took a crazy bounce, so it ends up in right field. The next one, he kind of boots. The next one after that, they're trying to turn a double play or something, and he dropped the ball or couldn't handle it. It was just all these things happen at second base, and like I said, while it's not all his fault, it goes back to what we were saying, that the second and short positions have kind of had issues, whether it be because of the personnel not being familiar with each other, or that, you know, Justin Jones, who is usually one of the cornerstones, just like Joey Roach from last year, you know, he was injured to start with, so maybe he's playing, you know, not 100%. It just, they're going to have to get used to playing with each other.
Well, I hope that Justin is able to figure things out, you know, to get acclimated quickly. The guy that was in for him while he was serving those injuries was Andy Burnett. And in that first home game for Georgia State, just had an embarrassing drop as one came right between short and left field, and no one called it, or it was either no one called it or everyone called it, because they were all out there, and the ball just dropped in between them, and that was the other team was able to put up a run, and you just, you know, you're you know, putting your hand in your hand, thinking, what in the world is going on? And me and a fellow colleague at Primetime Sports, Nissen Nair, were talking about, you know, looking forward to Justin Jones coming back, and then when he did come back, you know, still seeing a few problems out there. But he is a sophomore,
right?
You know,
there is a lot of pressure, at least on him, especially coming back, because, you know, he is held in pretty high regard, especially after his breakout rookie season last year, where he put up some amazing numbers, showed some of the plays he could make. And it's always hard to repeat when you start with the bar so high.
Yes. I think I can't remember her first name, Ivy Drake, playing for the softball team for Georgia State. She's dealing with a similar situation, as she had a really hot freshman year and is coming back, and now that teams know how she plays, they're taking her on in a different aspect, and she's getting a lot of walks and having to deal with people knowing that she's got a hot bat.
Right. Yeah, it's always hard to repeat like that. And, I mean, I know all the pressure's on them, and they feel like they got to almost overperform sometimes. But better thing, just go back to your game, continue to play the way you play. I mean, one of the better examples last year was Bryce Harper, whether you like him, whether you hate him. He got injured, and he tried to come back and try to catch up to everybody numbers-wise, to where his coach sat him down and said, stop trying to be like everybody else. Start being Bryce Harper. And when he did, everything starts coming back around.
Yeah, I guess good for Bryce, unfortunate for everyone else, you know. Can't say that I'm too big of a Bryce Harper fan, but I'm also a Braves fan, so that would, I don't know that those two could go together in any aspect, but.
Well, we'll call it a draw then, because I'm a lifelong Mets and Yankees fan, and I'll talk about the Mets in this respect, that we are very happy that Chipper Jones no longer plays, because he is one of the biggest Mets killers I've ever seen in my life. So for Bryce Harper to be a Braves killer currently, I was like, you know what? The shoe's on the other foot. Just get over it.
Yeah, I understand. I'm hoping for a better season this year from them.
Absolutely. In fact, Chipper loved – playing in New York so much, he named his kid Shea.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he has a daughter. If it's your son, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure he named his daughter Shea. It's like his middle kid, I think.
Yeah. Huh.
See, I told you, I have all this useless, crazy knowledge that I have no idea what I'm going to do with.
See, I don't know how much of it is useless. It's just informative, interesting, you know, those fun conversation topics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, starting on today's show, we're going to end with a fun fact, and a lot of people are going to get a scratch their head on that one. But, ultimately, like we said, Georgia State now is at 9-7 overall, which is, I don't know, in all honesty, I think they should be, maybe 11-5 is probably where we thought they should be at this point, given last year. But, I mean, they got the upcoming, let's see, their schedule coming up. They got Savannah State tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Savannah State tomorrow. They got Arkansas State Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's see, tomorrow is 5 o'clock. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is 6, 2, and 1 p.m. first pitches. And then next Tuesday will be Savannah State again. All these are home games at 5 p.m. as well.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
I mean, that's a full slate.
Well, I think the one thing that is interesting is they've been playing a lot at home,
yes.
A lot of home games. But this Arkansas State matchup will finally – this will be the first time they see someone within their own conference. So it'll be good to see how they match up against a team of their own conference. As, they've been playing a little all over the place, Division II. Or, they played Tech, and Tech is so talented. I believe they're in the top 10.
Yeah. They got swept by FSU this weekend, and that was the only three losses they've had, I believe.
Yes.
They're like 15-3 or 12-3 or something now. They almost set a school record, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think besides Coffin State, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Besides that matchup there, every team they've played, if they played them in a series, has kind of been two polar opposites. I mean, you get a rough game or you get a pretty impressive game.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that is a big thing that turns around for them, is for them to be able to play an entire series and to have a strong series against someone, Coffin State. As much as they beat up on them, you can't really judge that in terms of talent. But I would like to see them play someone on equal talent and have a strong series.
Right. Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. To see, for one, they got to get people healthy. That's obviously the number one thing. But they got to, the fielding's pretty much there except for the middle of the infield, like we said. But, yeah, I agree that once we see what they're doing against their own division, we'll actually be able to gauge where this team's at.
I do think that's the case. Playing Savannah State, strange how they match that up for them to play a week apart.
Figure is maybe Savannah State is headed – to Tennessee or Virginia or maybe somewhere past here. So they're going to catch them coming through and they're going to catch them coming back is what I can, the only thing I can figure.
That would make some sense.
But that's a blind guess because I haven't heard anything from anybody. I guess I can send out some emails here in a minute and find out. But, I mean, for all that matters, that's what I would imagine is they were looking for some extra games because they don't always play on Tuesdays. But, it's usually based off certain schedules. Like the following week, they have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday matchup. That's the first time they'll play on Thursday, I believe, all year.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
It may be the only time they play on Thursday from the looks of it.
Well, this week was pretty odd because they played on a Monday.
Yeah.
And I think that's another case where they don't do that again.
Yeah, because, like I said, for somebody who's got as many injuries as that, I can see the strategy of why you would want to get in more games to kind of gauge what you got, especially games that don't count as much as a division game might towards your overall season. But if I have that many injuries, I'm probably taking less games. But then again, I'm not the head coach. And he has the track record to prove he knows what he's doing.
Well, he actually got honored in the German Hall of Fame
right.
just this past just a few weeks ago, because my colleague Nissen there actually covered where for softball and baseball he was put into the German Hall of Fame, which is quite an accolade to have. So he knows the game. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, because when I heard about that, we talked about it here on the show, and I was blown away. I said, I didn't realize he had that accolade. I knew his college coaching experience was pretty good as far as that resume. But then you see what he's done for the German national team, and I went, you know, those guys are actually pretty good over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think definitely if they can get some people healthy and get some, you know, continue the bats the way they are and maybe try to minimize some mistakes, as general as those three things sound, it's just fundamentals. And if they keep doing what they're doing and get some people healthy, I think we're going to see, you know, they're going to win at least two of these three games with Arkansas State. They got UL Lafayette. I actually have the right school this time, UL Lafayette the following week. And, you know, you started to play your division, so I think we'll see from there.
Definitely.
But I know I've kept you a good while. We didn't really go over how long I was going to keep you here. But it's been fun having you on, for sure. And like I said, it was a blast getting to meet your better half the other night and hang out at some games, because that's the fun part about baseball. There's enough breaks to where you can actually, you know, we talk to all kinds of people all around us, and you learn a lot of stuff. But actually, I want to talk about one more thing before I let you out of here, and that's I don't know if you've released it yet or you know when you plan to do that, but you actually did a pretty cool thing just last night, and I was going to let you tell everybody about that and where they might can find that.
Well, I had an interesting encounter talking with the Atlanta Hawks public relations. I had an interview with Dennis Schroeder from the Atlanta Hawks last night. He opened his lounge in Buckhead called the DS-17 Lounge. It is next to, I believe, the restaurant is Imperial Feliz, an Indian restaurant. Definitely an interesting endeavor for him to take on in Atlanta. I was able to get up there pretty early before everything started to happen, a little bit before 10 o'clock. And unfortunately, with some miscommunication, he wasn't as familiar that I was going to be there, but gave me a good interview, I guess, with how public relations is handled at the Hawks. I couldn't get a video interview, but I did get a phone interview. So I've got some footage, some things I'll be editing. Since I am on spring break, I'm going to take a little casual, enjoy my time in Savannah. But I'm going to put those things together, get some information about the lounge so people know, so people go visit, help out an Atlanta guy who is surprisingly doing this all on his own. This is all his money. He was involved in hiring the people. He was looking to help out some of his family and some of his friends in opening this lounge, and I think it'll be a good place. It's going to do brunch and then kind of more of a nightclub atmosphere in the evening. But I think it'll be a good endeavor for Dennis. And Tabo Cephalosha was there last night, so I know his teammates will come out to support him, and I think it'll be a good business venture for him, and will look to be profitable.
That's definitely awesome that he has the support of his teammates as well. Let's see. Oh, I was able to actually, wow, our crack staff here was able to nail down that is 2285 Peachtree Road, northeast in Atlanta, which is actually the Buckhead area, like you said. But people can, I don't have a website, unfortunately. But if you go to Dennis Schroeder's Twitter account, I'm sure it's somewhere on there. But, yeah, that's definitely cool, because wasn't he a first-round draft pick for them a couple years ago?
He was, out of Germany, and that was one of the things that he wanted. Was his family was only able to come over to the United States on 3-month visas, and so he was able to help some of them with some employment and then give them kind of a place that they can all come together. You know, it's a very elegant place, good vibes with music and everything like that. So I think he was looking not only on the business side, but also from a family standpoint of giving them somewhere that they can come and hang out.
I think that's definitely cool. And he's a good player. He's kind of come into his own this year. He's actually been able to take over the point guard spot a lot of times. I usually don't get a chance to catch a lot of Hawks games, but I listen to a lot of people that do. And they've kind of said, you know, it's kind of been, I guess, uplifting for the franchise, because people weren't sure where the Hawks were going to go this year. And they've kind of been up and down, but at least you're getting consistent play from people like him and some of the other ones.
Definitely. You know, he's a guy that there were some times this season that we were thinking Jeff Teague was getting shipped out of Atlanta.
Right.
And so, you know, I guess they were really grooming him to take on that role, that starting role, if he had to. And I think he's a guy that can do it. You know, he definitely has a unique personality. Compared to some of his other teammates, I guess he's got to get used to good old Southern folks who want to get to know you. He's kind of got that adopted North personality to himself. He's a little more reserved and those kinds of things. So it was good to get to speak with him, to get some questions out of him, and to also learn a little bit about, you know, not everyone is as forthcoming with answers and with those kinds of things, but definitely a great guy and good for Atlanta. Hopefully he plans to stick around in the area.
Yeah, hopefully so. And definitely, when I did my research on him the other day, before I even knew you were talking to him, I was just looking into it because a friend of mine has season tickets, and he said, man, you got to watch this guy play. So I started back watching some of the film from this year, and he really has come into his own a little bit. And, you know, maybe it's somewhere down the road where Jeff Teague is either asked to kind of step back a second or, you know, possibly given a plane ticket. And if so, I think this is a good direction for the Hawks to go.
I would agree, definitely.
But, yeah, it's definitely it's always good when the Atlanta players around here, you know, try to set up businesses and help people out in this general area. You know, him being from Germany, I wonder if he's ever seen one of Greg Frady's teams play.
I don't know. That would I don't know how much of a baseball guy he would be. A lot of the times those two get separated as far as interest more than some other sports do. But that would definitely be an interesting subject to ask.
Yeah, it just popped in my head because I was looking at Greg Frady's name on the paper in front of me, and I said, you know, we just talked about that. I wonder if he's like, oh, I know that guy, or if he's like, I don't watch baseball.
Yeah. I would have to assume he doesn't watch, but you never know. People never cease to surprise.
Yeah, definitely so. And as we're finishing up here with Primetime Sports own amazing reporter, anchor, I don't know what you guys call yourself there, but Caleb Johnson from Primetime Sports, as we're finishing up. Like I said, it's been great having you on the show. And if people want to follow you or Primetime Sports, how can they do that?
Well, on Twitter, we are Prime Sports with a Z. And then my personal Twitter is ATL Johnson 18. That is where you can find a lot of my sports and getting my thoughts out for Twitter sphere.
What's the 18 for?
18 is actually has to do with my birth date and my sports number. I was born on the 18th, and so I've always been a fan of 18 as a number. Wore that in athletics most of the time of my any athletics that I played. But also, you know, I mean, if a guy like Peyton Manning thinks it's a good number, you know, hard to disagree with that.
Oh, I almost forgot that. God, we got to get in that before you get out of here. Because, you actually have, we were talking on Saturday, and you actually have ties to the state of Tennessee, and then that's ultimately kind of how your football interest really went into what you were a Colts fan, and then when Peyton moved on, or when they moved on from Peyton, let's clear that up. When they moved on from Peyton, you followed him to Denver, and now you're a Broncos fan, right?
I am, and so this upcoming year will be an interesting endeavor. Is that I will be Peytonless, but a Broncos fan nonetheless. Interesting,
you know,
to see.
That's why I was going to ask you if you're going to stay with them.
Yes, I definitely will stay with them. I'm, you know, try not to be too much of a fair weather fan. I always cheer on the Falcons because I'm an Atlanta guy. I've always been an Atlanta Braves fan, and so I stick with the Hawks and with the Falcons, even though those may not be my, the teams that I cheer for, respectively, but I always keep up. As far as the Broncos, yeah, definitely sticking with the Broncos as my team. This year, of course, was a good year for us.
Yes.
Just it'll be interesting to see what's going to go on in the future.
Well, I mean, it looks like your quarterback is Mark Sanchez, so, take that for what it is. And which to me, Kubiak is a system guy, the same way you can say Belichick is. He just, Kubiak doesn't have the rings that Belichick does, but he's trying to prove that it's about the system that has interchangeable parts. You know, think Seattle, think Baltimore is pretty good at this. When you do get a superstar, it does make it a little better, but trust me, Belichick is not worried about the day Tom Brady walks out, because he'll be able to plug somebody in that'll be at least two-thirds of what Tom is, and they'll keep going.
Yeah, I definitely find that true, and hoping that Kubiak continues to have the success. I think Denver's obviously a better landing place than he was with Houston, and
yes.
I think he'll – you know, especially that defense. I mean, it's just hard to stop them. Even though other NFL teams are kind of picking them apart right now with free agency, but I think they'll have a strong look towards this upcoming season.
Definitely so. And my producer is saying I can't get out of here without saying a few more famous 18 jerseys. So we'll go over a few of them just so he's happy about it. Apparently. Matsusaka actually wore that as a Red Sox. And English Premier Soccer League player, forgot his first name, but Lampard was his name. I believe he played, Frank Lampard, played for, Manchester City, and he also played for the English national team. Go England on that one. But
sure.
Those are some famous 18s besides Peyton Manning. So congratulations, Peyton, on by far being the best 18 I can come up with in 30 seconds.
Definitely.
But, Caleb, it's been great having you on, and I'll let you back to your Savannah trip as I'll be heading there a little later in the week. It'll be fun because two of my favorite wingmen will be with me, my 5-year-old and 1-year-old nephews, so I'm sure we will paint the town green all by ourselves.
Might run into you at the parade.
We're definitely supposed to be there. I've already been told by the 5-year-old that he has already claimed my shoulders for the parade. So I'm gonna have to do some sort of exercises probably when we get off this show so that my shoulders can take it.
Yeah, good. Ice them up. Get ready.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to do the cold and the hot tub, I think, and make sure I'm good. I'm gonna make sure that Greg Olsen or Cam Newton aren't in my tub. But like I said, before we get out of here, the fun fact for today, and that is a pineapple is neither an apple or a pine. It is, in fact, a large berry. So take that for what it is. Next time you eat a pineapple, it's as confused as you are as to what it is.
All right.
And I would like to thank, this was real fact number 724 off the Snapple bottle I had for lunch, as part of my lunch. So I appreciate Snapple for coming up with that amazing fact. Who knows what I'll have on next week's show. If you have a random fact you want to send to me, one that I probably don't know, feel free to send it to us, of course, at the Impact 99 on Twitter. We are Team Impact Media as well if you want to get the show. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. The website, of course, theimpactmedia.wix.com/impactmedia. You can find all the latest shows, including this one, in a few minutes as soon as we post it up. And, Caleb, you got anything to add?
I think I have gotten all my verbiage or any ideas or things that I wanted to. I think it's all out, so I think I'm good.
Well, you're definitely invited back at any time, and make sure to tell all the guys at Primetime Sports that I say hello and that they need to redo their closets, and I can help them do that.
Anyway, I appreciate the opportunity of letting me come on and get some sports out of me.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. Like I said, you're invited back to any of our amazing shows we do each week. Coming up tomorrow night, we'll have, of course, Revolution Zone. We're going to have Catherine Dunn of Inside the Revolution, and we're going to have Jordan Brown, one of the running backs. And then we're good for the week. We'll see you guys next week after that. But for Caleb from Primetime Sports, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us on Panther Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you guys next week. Go Panthers.